It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas everywhere you go. Take a look at the 5 and 10. It's glistening once again with candy canes and silver lanes that glow. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Toys in every store, but the prettiest sight to see is the holly that will be on your own front door. A pair of hop-along boots and a pistol that shoots is the wish of Barney and Ben. Dolls that'll talk and we'll go for a walk is the hope of Janice and Jen. And Mom and Dad can hardly wait for school to start again. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas everywhere you go. There's a tree in the Grand Hotel, one in the park as well. It's the sturdy kind that doesn't mind the snow. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Soon the bells will start, and the thing that'll make them ring is the carol that you sing right within your heart. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Toys in every store, but the prettiest sight to see is the holly that will be on your own front door. Sure, it's Christmas once more.
Oh, yes, the sounds of Christmas here, the easy sounds on WAND, the light sounds. I'm sorry. Welcome aboard, everybody. Andy and Mandy show here. Get ready for Christmas, I think. We are inside of, what, 9, 10 days? Let's say the 16th. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
My 9 days goodness. For Christmas.
Yeah. And we'll start our show. We'll start our show, of course, with the Michael Bublé. I'm going to say Billy Bubble. Billy. With Billy Bubble here on the Andy and Mandy show. Or Michael Bublé. It begins to look a lot like Christmas. We'll do some more music, I think. Now, you have to get kind of in a Christmassy mood here. Not getting there. You know, I haven't done anything yet.
Yeah.
All those, you know, nothing so far. But, you know, I'm starting to feel it a little bit. Christmas in the air. A little different here in Southern California when they say, oh, the weather outside is frightful and I'm sitting at 70 degrees and sunny skies. And, yeah.
Anyway. And everything's groovy.
Everything's groovy. Very groovy.
Yeah.
How you doing, baby? How's it going there?
Yeah, doing well. We still got bits of snow. It was -10 last night or the night before. So it was crazy temperatures, but supposedly it's going to warm up. And I think everybody's kind of disappointed that we might not have a white Christmas. And some people are like, yeah, I don't want the snow, you know? And I'm like, why? We don't get it very often. It'd be nice to have a white Christmas. That's just be me being selfish, you know? I love snow. So,
I love it when my skis are on. Outside of that, you can have it. Maybe the first day, like when it snows, you know, and it's, you know, everything's all, the tree branches are all covered. Especially around Christmas time. Mm.
Yeah, I mean, I feel sorry for people that sort of work out in it, you know, outside.
Oh, yeah.
In those And the temperatures don't get that low here in the UK for us to worry too much, you know. But, yeah, I mean, there's lots of little old ladies and men that are just struggling with that kind of thing. So, yeah, I do feel selfish when I say, I want snow. And they're like, no, go away. So, yes. But, yeah, I'm getting excited. Christmas is creeping closer and closer and closer, and I've not got many presents for people, and no, no.
I've gotten nothing. Zero. Maybe I'll do that start today on, you know, online or whatever. Just, I know what I want to
say.
Get.
The joys of online shopping.
Yeah, online. Yeah, of course.
You do it all from the comfort of your couch.
As winter, I'm in California. It is wintertime, you know. But you know what they say? Yeah. Life is short. Break the rules. Forgive quickly. Kiss slow. We love so we laugh uncontrollably and never regret anything that makes you smile.
That's a beautiful saying.
Mm-hmm. And the half-life of love is forever.
Love it.
Thank you.
Was that a material box, my darling?
And here's another one. Christmas wish. Unless it's mad, passionate, extraordinary love, it's a waste of your time. There are too many mediocre things in life. Love shouldn't be one of them.
Okay. Good to know, I think.
Thank you. Love makes life meaningful and the world more beautiful. If it makes your life more miserable, then it isn't love.
Yeah, that's true. Well, here it is.
And love is life. And if you miss love, you miss life. I just found these quotes.
Oh.
Found some quotes. Anyway,
wow.
So, why'd we do that?
Getting all deep on the show.
Our number. One thing I wanted to say is, you know how we normally, to get on the show, by the way, folks who are listening in North America, dial 151, you have to dial 515-605-9888 internationally, dial 1, unless you want to, at any time, either this show or future shows, we are on Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We do connect the UK with the USA, California, West Coast, so we're our Pacific time, but just to make, you know, just make it easy, say 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, New York, whatever time it is, New York makes it easy. But if you want to connect with the show, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, go to www.blogtalkradio.com. Great blog. Yeah, blogtalkradio.com/Andy and Amanda Show. And now I want to introduce a new button that we have on our show, which you can push, and it says Direct Connect. So if you have a headset and microphones, bam, you get on right away on our website, blogtalkradio.com/IsntAndyAmandaShow, Direct Connect. Instead of you emailing us, and then we'll send you a link, which that link pretty much does the same thing, but, you know, you can get on the show anywhere in the world, and we people are going to be hearing the show. It's kind of crazy as we sit behind these microphones and think about it, but people listen to the show in over 23 countries now. And especially in North America, but we are heard, we have followers and listeners all over the world, on every continent. But so if you want to join us at any time in the future, again, if you're hearing this now, you're most likely hearing the podcast. And this is an actual radio show. We have phone lines, control board, the whole nine yards, and inherently becomes a podcast after we're done. But we don't produce this as a podcast. This is a radio show. So if you're listening right now, you're probably listening to the podcast. So we welcome you to join the radio show Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays, again at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. To join the show anywhere in the world, just go to blogtalkradio.com/Andy and Amanda Show and hit the Direct Connect button, and that'll bring you in. Now, whether we have you join the show or not is another question. You might say, nah. No, I'm kidding. We'll let you come on. Share your thoughts, your ideas.
Yes, sir. Right? Absolutely. Can you believe it? It's Friday, the end of the week.
Unbelievable.
Where is time going? It's flying by again. You have those moments where it really drags and then just everything seems to be, you know,
yeah,
speeding up so quickly that I can't keep up.
Yeah. I know. It's unbelievable. You know, birthdays. There's a bunch of birthdays, but there's one person's birthday who I want to bring up specifically and give attention to because his birth has meant so much to the world, to music, to the arts, to the population of the world. And that is none other than the great... what's his name again? No, I'm sorry. That is none other than the great Ludwig von Beethoven.
Oh, Beethoven.
Beethoven. Ooh, Beethoven. He was either born this, say the 16th or 17th. I think 16th. It may have been the 17th, but even if it was the 17th, we'll celebrate today. Of course, we know Beethoven, a German composer, pianist, who started playing music at a very early age and started writing music in his, I think, 20s, 21 or somewhere around there. He was born in Bonn. His musical talent was obvious when he was very little. And he started playing, like at 21, he moved to Vienna and became the composer. You know, he studied composition with Haydn, and he gained the reputation as a virtuoso pianist, actually. And he was soon patronized by Karl Alios, who was a Prince Laskowski for compositions, which resulted in his three Opus 1 piano trios, which are gorgeous, and I'm not going to play them here on the show, take too much time, but if you don't know what Beethoven's piano trios, you've got to just Google them or YouTube them or whatever, but they're magnificent pieces of work. But what he premiered his first, you know, we all know the Beethoven symphonies, the first of the odd numbers, the 1, 3, 5, 7, 9, actually magnificent symphonies. Of course, the ninth is a gorgeous, magnificent choral symphony, which would also take too long to play on the show. But what I'm going to do, though, is because it would, you know, a lot of, I'm not going to, you know, it would be great to play a full Beethoven piece, which we can do. One of the five sounds, something that's very popular, we all know of it, it won't take a tremendous time to do, but I still want to honor Beethoven's birthday on our show. So what I figured we would do is play something that we could place on a piece of our show, time, and put something. I'm not going to tell you what it is, because I think everybody knows what it is when I play it, and we'll tell you. If you don't know, we'll announce that at the end of the show. Here we go. Andy Vander Show presents Birthday Celebration, 119. Thank you. Fairlies here on the Andy Mann Show, Beethoven. Happy birthday.
Beautiful. Happy birthday. What a legend.
Yeah. Yeah, beautiful. What,
I just love classical music.
So do I. You know, I was saying that because we have music on the show, and I think we've even played, I don't remember, but I don't know if we did or not, but it seems to me we played something classical a while back. I don't know, maybe a couple years ago. I don't know. But I think we did too. I don't remember. I just remember. I don't know what it was exactly. But anyway, I think we'll do more of it, just sitting here listening to how beautiful that piece is.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of makes me want to turn this into a classical music show. Anyway, I love it.
I know. Fall asleep with Andy and Amanda.
Yes.
The soothing sounds.
Yes.
I know, right?
They're cool. Yes. Easy sounds. A nice sound. The Andy and Amanda. Following up on some things you're talking about the last show, in the last few weeks, actually, in our countdown to the indictment of the former President Donald J. Trump, the House Select Committee investigating the January 6th insurrection, the attempted tear down of our democracy, the coup, the committee, the Congress committee that's been investigating it is now seriously considering asking the Justice Department to pursue multiple criminal charges against the former president, Donald Trump.
Oh, my.
The charges being considered include obstruction of an official proceeding. Remember, we just went into that deeply on the last show?
Remember? Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay,
oh,
here we go. Right? And how we talked about what that was and why one should remember that, memorize that felony. It's a crime. Remember that on the Wednesday show, right? Right, Wednesday, pretty deeply, right? Okay, so just touching upon it again, the, it's a felony. He invited everybody to, I'm not going to go with the whole thing because we've done it already. We've been there, done that. Bam, I'm going to lay it all out again. We all know the deal. He would be charged, or at least considered, I guess you can call it consideration of charges, would include the obstruction of an official proceeding and conspiracy to defraud the federal government.
Oh.
Oh, the recommendations match all those allegations that the Select Committee made against Trump and his the elections attorney, John Eastman. We talked about him, I don't know, months ago. I remember we talked about John Eastman. But that was in a previous court proceeding seeking Eastman's emails. A judge had agreed with the House, finding it could access Eastman's emails about his 2020 election work for Trump because the pair was likely planning to defraud the U.S. and engaging in conspiracy to obstruct Congress, according to that court proceeding. And we went into those emails and who John Eastman was and all the theories of how Trump could be in power. And again, we did all that already. I don't go into it again. Yeah, and our listeners probably don't feel like hearing it again. But anyway, but there is going to be a final committee report that could include additional charges proposed for Trump, according to sources that are familiar, more so than I am. But it will provide justification from its investigation for recommending charges. So stay tuned for that. And we did start our countdown to indictment. Trump is going to be indicted. And as I remember, we're talking on Wednesday about will he be let out in handcuffs out of Mar-a-Lago?
I don't know either. I really don't know.
Yeah.
It's interesting times. Interesting times.
Yeah. Crazy. So we'll see if they follow through.
Yeah. You know? I mean, he's not the only one in a lot of trouble, is he? Elon Musk is in a lot of trouble right now.
Yes. Let's talk about that. Wow. I am disturbed about that deeply. I'm a huge fan of Tesla and the space program, SpaceX. And the guy just could do no wrong. You know, I'm a proud Tesla owner in awe of the technological achievements that were accomplished in the production and operation of the motor vehicles. I mean, really superior to anything else that you can ever imagine owning, much less driving. I mean, they're incredible cars. And Elon's coming out with this holiday update now for Teslas, which I'm looking forward to getting. I'm going to add more things. My car does so much more than it did when I bought it about 3 years ago. It's an incredible vehicle. And I think the purchase of Twitter was a big mistake. that disappointment for me, Tesla, because the things that we're hearing about Elon and how he's conducted himself regarding employees of Twitter and his opening up channels for Twitter that were previously closed to folks that were spewing outright lies and conspiracy theories and things that could be outright dangerous and destructive to our society because people read this stuff and believe it. And if it's a lie, if it's an outright lie, pure bullshit, and somebody makes up this cockamamie thing about Italians, using satellites to rig the Dominion voting machines, I mean, come on.
Yeah.
We don't need that crap. We don't need it out there. But at the same
he opens up
these channels for that, and then he starts, from what I've seen, and I don't know what Twitter channel he closed, but I hear that he has started to take off some of the more left-leaning, shall we say, I hate that right left thing, as we talked about before, but I left-leaning Twitter channels he's begun to suspend. But opening up the right
channel. Suddenly came across evidence or supposed evidence of that Twitter were holding that the U.S. government had paid Twitter to stop posts being shared around about Joe Biden's son regarding all those issues back then. They actually paid Twitter off to stop that from being shown on Twitter. I don't know how true that is, but supposedly Elon has access to all of that, and so, brought that forward. But yeah, there's just recently, he's just banned a load of journalists because they were sharing his real-time location of his jet and all sorts. Now, this guy being under the radar like he is and being, a target, he was furious that, his locations are being, shared.
The way that works is, and I'd like to share this with our listeners. This is really fascinating, actually, and quite interesting, and kind of cool. Flight Radar, all one word, flightradar24.com. Flightradar24.com opens up all the current airplanes that are flying anywhere in the world. And you can click on any one of those yellow targets that come up. They're all little airplanes all over the place. And see the flight number or the registration number, if it's not an airline, the altitude, where it's going, where it came from, track its route, the whole nine yards. And a private operator of a corporate airplane or a private owner of an airplane can block their aircraft from being part of that display if they don't want people to know. I don't know myself if Elon did not have his jet blocked at one time and has since blocked it. Most celebrity type of wealthy people block their airplanes because they don't want to know everybody know their whereabouts or what they're doing, where they're going. I understand that. But if you look at the largest charter corporate airline, if you will, fractional ownership company in the world, NetJets, their signal is EJA. So, example, if you want EJA 151, you would see that Citation or that Gulfstream, whatever kind of plane that I think. Oh, as a matter of fact, it's a EJA 151. I know is a Global Express that can go. It's a big airplane, big corporate airplane. It can go intercontinental. It's fast. It's high altitude. It goes near Tokyo nonstop or something like that. But anyway, but if you did EJA, and also if you don't go Flight Radar 24, you can also go to FlightAware.com. And punch in the EJA 151, and you'll see the last time that plane flew or if it's flying now. But you go through the same thing, like if American Airlines or Southwest or Delta or British Airways, BA, whatever, and you'll see the flight number on FlightAware. And the cool thing is, at FlightAware, you'll see, if it's not currently flying, you'll see the history, what the last flight was and so forth. But that is what that's some background, actually, on what Elon, I think, was talking about in blocking his flight. But I get that. If I was if I was more famous than I am, if I was a celebrity billionaire, whatever it might be, and had a private jet, or private jets is quite often the case, I'd probably block my mind. I don't want anybody knowing where I'm going on board. And or if I'm on board necessarily, you don't know.
Yeah.
But
it makes me wonder It makes me wonder how far he's going to go with the whole doxing thing. They call it doxing, which is when you reveal a person's personal location and information online. So, yeah, I mean, the European Union are really pissed at him about it and giving him sanctions for, or threatening to give him sanctions for what he's done. And yeah, he's in a whole heap of trouble, isn't he? I mean, I don't know how much further he's going to go with all of this. I mean, the changes he's already made to Twitter have been phenomenal, and there's been so many people complaining, so many celebrities boycotting it and trying to walk away from Twitter. And but I think Elon's got this vision that not many people understand, and I don't know. It just seems very dangerous right now with what he's doing, and I think people are kind of worried about it, you know.
Yeah, I don't necessarily buy the government paying Twitter to, you know, if Elon said that, then he should, when he says it, he should produce evidence of it right away.
Yes, if he's got evidence, he should certainly reveal it. Because saying it and improving it is two different things. So
yeah, just that's like the Philo guy coming out and saying he's got evidence of the Dominion voting machines being hacked by the Chinese. And he said, oh, I'm going to show it Tuesday. Make it Thursday. Make it next week. I've got evidence. How many years ago was that? And every week he's got to go show it next week. He's got no evidence or nothing. But when people make these types of allegations, then they step up to the plate at the time they make them. Not just say it. Because that's what happens. Like, you're on our show. You know, we come on, you and I start talking about it, right? Oh, boy, the government paid Twitter. You know, and you and I could talk about it for 20 minutes. And so can another talk show or format or commentator or whatever. And suddenly it becomes, it gets out there. Out goes the buzz, and now then form the agreement. And everybody, oh, you hear what Elon Musk did? But maybe it never happened. Show the evidence.
Yeah.
That's what we can talk about. Right?
Yeah.
So I don't buy it. I mean, right now I don't buy it. There's just, I haven't seen it until, you know, show the evidence, and then I'll buy it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Needless to say, the other things that he did with Twitter, like firing all these employees and so forth, was just outrageous. I mean,
very
true. He's stick with technology. Go ahead.
Yeah, he is. I mean, I think he's, he says he's for the people. What he did with Ukraine was truly beautiful move with trying to give them coverage so they could help with that. And I think, like I said, he's got this vision of how he wants to help humanity, but I just think he's playing a very dangerous game with what he's doing, because it's like Twitter was a chess move, and it's like, okay, now I've got hold of Twitter and I'm going to change the way free speech is given, and now he's playing all these power moves, and it could be very dangerous for him.
I think so.
So, yeah. It's crazy.
It is. There was another mass shooting today in Chicago. Four students were shot outside the Benito Juarez High School, which is southwest of downtown Chicago. Two of those students are in pretty critical condition. Nobody has been killed from this yet, but it doesn't, you know, there's another mass shooting. But it would be students were outside, but on school grounds. So are they going to classify this as another school shooting or whatever? There's not enough information out, but I'm sure.
Right.
But another mass shooting. Here we go. Another one.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Not so.
Oh, I feel for everyone involved in all of these. I mean, it's very scary. And Andy and I have had so many conversations. So many conversations regarding it all. But, it's like, where's it all going to end?
I don't know.
My heart goes out to his families, you know.
Yeah. Christmas is close, is nearby. And also, I forget what photo is up on the website for today's show. I have no idea. But we have a really cool banner that I think you did a year or two ago, or last year, whatever, with like a Christmas banner.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I enjoyed making that. That was a lot of fun.
If you still have it. I probably have it here, but I might even have it up on today's show. I forget, but in case, if you find it, or if you have it, just blast it to me again. So
absolutely. I think we should do updated pictures for sure, because that's a lot of fun. We need to update our style.
Let me get my mankini on here, and I'll...
Hang this some baubles from your nipples, you know.
Yeah, just my mankini and a Christmas cat. Yeah.
Yeah. That would really go down well. You could make a calendar.
Yeah, I saw that from the editor's door here in the studio, and I was reaching for some cords or cables or something. They had stuff in the back. I said, "What's that? Oh my God, it's the bikini." But when I'm in, it told me what it was, but still haven't quite figured it out yet. Needless to say, I've not tried it on yet. Nor do I know if I will. But there was some kind of bet I made. Remember a few while ago that if something didn't happen, I was going to wear the
bikini. Oh,
yes. Remember?
No. Wasn't it something to do with the elections, or?
That was before, and I won that one.
Okay.
If Trump, there was no way.
I can't remember.
So I was very safe with that one. But I think there was another one. Maybe if it was Trump doesn't get indicted, I was going to wear it, maybe.
I don't know. But you know what? That mankini is not even big enough to make a hammock for a Barbie doll. You know what I mean?
It's a piece of string.
Yeah. Exactly. You can slingshot some water balloons from that thing.
I have a question. You know, when you go to a beach, you know, let's say, southern France, Italy, whatever, they're here, let's say Miami, Southern California, of course, there's plenty of beaches here. String bikinis on women. I don't know if I've actually seen one.
You won't see them in the UK beaches, that's for sure. Well, if you do, it'd have to be on like a really, 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 really hot day here in the UK, and probably on a really decent
beach. Are they legal to wear?
No. I don't know. It depends how revealing they truly are, I guess. But
I can't just see anything. I sent you a picture of it, right? Yeah. I remember when I got it, I sent you a picture of it.
Yes.
I can't see it being legal here in the United States unless you're at a new beach or something. I just can't.
Wow.
It's a thing.
People have worn them, but I don't know where they've worn them.
They have worn them. You go on the internet and look under mankini and you'll see people wearing them. Yeah.
I know. It's quite an eyeful, isn't it, really?
Unreal.
Like, prepare yourself. But, Yeah, no, I honestly don't know. I've not really.
I'm going to send Cornell one for Christmas. I'm going to put one under your
Can you imagine the over six foot giant guy with a mankini? Hilarious.
Oh, my God. Yeah, he's a coordinator. He introduced Amanda and I, folks, to those of you who haven't tuned into our show previously. Cornell's show coordinator, who made all this possible a couple of years back. Hey, listen, what do you say we do another Christmas song?
I say bring it on. Let's do it.
Quite elaborate here. How about if we do, I got one. Let's do Justin Bieber.
Justin Bieber.
The classic drum boy. And I thought he did this one so, so well. It's Drummer Boy is probably my favorite Christmas song. Probably my favorite one.
Ooh.
And this is done by Justin Bieber. Let's take a listen.
Surprised you didn't hear this in the Bible. I'm so tight, I might go psycho. Christmas time, so here's a recital. I'm so bad like Michael. I know I'm still young, but I go stupid, stupid, love like Cupid. I'm the drummer boy, so do, do.
Raspberry on a hip, and then it gave a little flick, and then I took a look to see before it activates. The ringer came and realized the homie Bieber hit me on the Twitter, then I hit him back despite I had some food up on my finger, sipping eggnog with a little sprinkle of vanilla, even though it's kind of cold. I'm pulling out a chinchilla. Bieber hit me back and said, let's make it hot up in the winter. I said, cool, cool. You know I'ma deliver, let's collaborate and make the holiday a little bigger. Before we work, I gotta get this off, see the other family members and drop gifts off, then I'm headed to the studio, cause ain't nothing stopping. How you know we about to turn it up and really get it popping now? People everywhere and all our Twitter followers, Merry Christmas, Kwanzaa, Happy Hanukkah.
On the street with no food, it's not fair. It's about time for you to act merrily. It's about time for you to give to charity. Rarely do people even want to help at all, cause they warm by the fire, getting toys and the dolls, not thinking there's a family out hungry and cold, wishing that they had somebody they could help. So I think some of you need to act bold. Give a can to a drive, let's change the glow. Glow, 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 glow. I'm the drummer boy, so dope. I'm the drummer boy, so dope.
Justin
Whoa.
Bieber. Yeah, Summer Boy.
That was very, very full of energy. That was,
was,
you know, I quite like that. I quite like what they did with that.
Yeah, I saw him do that live at the Rockefeller Center in New York around Thanksgiving of 2011. I forget when that was, 12 right there. He was doing a video featuring that tune, and we heard, you know, we spent a long weekend in the in New York City, you know, in a hotel, just to go up and kind of experience Christmas in New York. And we heard rumors, somebody, I forget, that, hey, Justin Bieber's going to be at Rockefeller Center down the ice, big ice skating ring, a big Christmas tree, at home of NBC. And we went up down there and stood around the railing at the top of the ice skating ring, and there was Justin Bieber doing, well, he wasn't, you know, probably he's lip syncing, obviously, to the song, but they probably did about a dozen takes. So after a while, the thrill kind of wore off after about the third one. But it was still cool to see him do this. You know, it was very cool. It was very cool.
Yeah, he's got such a beautiful voice. I love Justin Bieber's voice.
Yeah, I did more at that age than anything he's doing currently.
Yeah.
I haven't heard a whole lot of his current stuff. I think he has an album that came out this year or earlier. I forget. But the little I've heard didn't do a whole lot for me. You know, he's all right. Just kind of blended into what that contemporary kind of rap pop sound is. He just kind of just another voice in that mix.
Yeah.
But I think as a kid, of course, he had more uniqueness. Of course a kid's going to have more uniqueness.
Yeah.
Especially a good one, especially a talented one like he is, you know.
You know, you ever have that conversation, and I'm sure you have, where we say they just don't make music like they used to.
Mm-hmm.
Because,
mm-hmm.
you know, I've said, I've heard my parents say it back in the day, and now I'm saying it, and I'm sure the future generations will be saying it, because you get used to our era of growing up with what we loved, because music's always changing so much, and technology's moving with it, and now music relies a lot on the technology, and it's transforming, and I guess, you know, I get to the point where I look at music sometimes and I'm thinking, where can it possibly go now? Because we feel like we've done so many variations, so many styles. And it feels like the music industry is knocking out one thing after another just to keep the money coming in. And there's no real uniqueness. And I don't know. It's like
I know exactly
you go
what
back
you're saying, and I follow.
Yes,
I
you do. You understand? Yeah.
But you know what the exception to that is, and I guess, you know, I you know, this is where I live, really. But in the singer songwriter folk community, in that acoustic solo singer songwriter, or something like a John Mayer, you know, that type of, you know what I mean? Who's doing, you know, not only is an outstanding performer, but an amazing guitar player. You know, and how about John Bonamoso, the amazing blues guitar player, singer. I mean, so there's, in another category, if you go out of that top, you know, the pop top stuff, you know, the top 40 pop singer-songwriter, contemporary, you kind of go into a different genre. You go to the blues, you go to folk, singer-songwriter. A whole other world exists there. Now, as a matter of fact, I think maybe we'll get away from our Christmas music just to play one example of that, for example, to exemplify, rather, what we were just saying. And you come up with an amazingly talented duo, a couple of women who we profiled on the show previously, but we'll just kind of visit that again to kind of, you know, these girls are incredible. I'm just going to play, and then we'll talk about who it is. You probably know after it starts. I want to push play, and then we'll talk about it.
Solace in a bottle, or possibly a friend, and I
Let me see. Is that the Indigo Girls?
Yeah, bird. Indigo Girls. You
excellent.
You see, when, and as a great, good song, too. You know, it's called Closer to Fine. And so when you look at who they are, what they've accomplished, folks along in that genre, you know, even the, you know, the Joni Mitchells, the who, you know, not doing anything currently, obviously, the Joan Baez's, the Indigo Girls, the Suzanne Vega, Mary Kim Carpenter, Sean Colvin, Richard Thompson, Richard Sandel. I'm going to go on and on and on. So just Chris Smither, who we played on the show before. You know, look at these singer-songwriters who really distinguish themselves and have a uniqueness about what they do in the presentation of music, where the pop stuff, to me, it's like you were just saying, you kind of, okay, it's more of the same.
Exactly. Yeah, and it's more towards that field, I think, of music that, you know, a lot of it tends to blend in with each other. And there's no real distinction. Yeah, right. They end up some catchy stuff that you hear and then you sing a little of it and then it quickly vanishes again. You know, there used to be songs back in the day that were released and you could not get them out of your head no matter how hard you tried. You know, they were very well thought out and orchestrated and they just had such flair and spark to them that was just incredible. And like I said, I think the production of music is so quick and fast now that it's like, what can we knock out next? How quickly can we do
it? You know what's interesting? It just occurred to me, actually. Even your music, the music that you play and the music that you compose is composed music, you know, much like, you know, you could easily use all the different devices that you use when you compose music and land a kick drum and go boom, boom, boom. The only thing that would do to my head is give me a headache. But there are, let's pick up a caller. I think it's time because we are, let's see what happens here. And hello. Are you there?
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, man. Who's here?
How are you?
I have the pleasure of speaking with here. I know who it is, but why don't you tell our audience who we have here?
All right, it's Kevin Cronin Michaels. What?
You
can tell I've been sick.
It's
I don't
Michael.
Even know my name anymore.
Speaking of music, let me just tell our listeners, especially those who follow the show, have been on before, know who we've had this guy on. As a matter of fact, he even stepped in for me a couple of times when I couldn't do the show. It's Kevin Michaels, the composer, author, singer, songwriter of the number one country hit, Down Home Georgia, and an amazing, impeccable background in the music industry as a songwriter, as a singer, a vocalist with the pretty significant major bands going back, who's been a great friend of the show and a very talented artist, singer, songwriter. It's good to have you call in, man. How you been?
So that's so nice of you to say. Well, obviously, I'm not doing that well. You know my name better than I do. As you know, I've had COVID for the last 11 or 12 days, and
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, horrible, bloody horrible.
Yeah,
I haven't tested today, but I tested yesterday and it was still negative. So
good.
I mean, positive. What am I saying?
It's I was going to say. I was about to correct you on that, but yes,
The line was really faint, but somebody told me that doesn't matter. It's like, as long as it shows up, it's...
Yeah, if it shows, it's positive. If there's any line there at all, it's a positive test. Yeah.
I didn't think it lasted this long. I thought it was over in like a week.
No, the test should actually... Now, here's the way that works. The test will show positive for about 10 days... from when it first shows positive, right? But the contagious aspect of the virus, in other words, from if you and I were to get, actually we were together, you know, to get together before you came down with symptoms and nobody's...
Yeah, the night before. Which
the night before, and I'm fine. I'm good. But then I'm vaccinated. I had COVID. Right. I don't know if it has anything to do with it or not. But anyway, but here's how it works. So for about 5 days, thereabouts, you are contagious as hell, right? After 5 days, up to 10 days, maybe a little longer, they'll show a positive test, but you won't be contagious. So from that 5 days,
that's cool. You mean I could have gone to the Christmas party and and played my heart out?
Well, not unless I went with you.
There you go. I mean, I was going to invite you, but then I thought to play music with me, but I thought that I wasn't going to be able to go. I didn't realize that about the...
Yeah, you're not contagious.
I thought when it showed that you were testing positive that you were still contagious.
Nope. It just means that the antibodies are floating around, you know, fighting whatever it is to fight off. Most of what you have right now is residual symptom, you know, and that'll continue for a few days, and you might have some... what they have called a COVID fog or brain fog thereafter, where you're just like what you're saying earlier, where your memory and you're kind of, even when you're driving, it seems a little awkward, kind of like you just
feel weird. It looks like you're looking at a bad 3D movie, but that stopped a couple of days ago.
That comes on and off, and that can last for about 2 weeks, maybe even longer than that, but right around 2 weeks after you're feeling pretty good. Yeah, you're still going to have this brain fog kind of thing. You might have
better yesterday, actually. It's weird. I've had two times where that happened. Like 4 days ago, I felt fine, and then the next day I didn't feel good. And then yesterday I felt amazingly good. And today it's like a little bit weird. A little weirder today than it was yesterday. So that goes on for a while, man.
Hang in there. Yeah. And also, you should, if you are feeling that way and still kind of symptomy and so forth, you should still take it easy and don't let your body get rid of this thing on its own. And the more you exert yourself,
absolutely,
the harder it is for your body.
It's probably just as well I didn't go to the party.
Oh, yeah. No,
yes, definitely.
Yeah, no question. Yeah, you're better off just hanging out for a few days.
Yeah, you were talking to somebody about music when I first tuned in. Who was that?
I don't know. Who were we talking to? No, we're talking about the progression of top 40 of pop type music in the world of pop music, and how it all seems to come out of one formula, one recipe, and you could change the chord structures, you can slightly change the rhythm and the beat, but no matter how you slice it, it comes down to boom, 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 boom. There are some challenges. When you look at some singer-songwriters, you look at, like, even
I was going to say, I watched a documentary last night on the, that some guy that does all this stuff on classical music did on the Beatles. He said that classical music was pretty much a thing of the past. Nobody cared about it anymore back when they came out. They were kind of the, you know, the new great songwriters. And then he showed, you know, a lot of the stuff that they brought back that hadn't been done in decades, you know, that was like different musical bits that they knew about and performed in their songs that nobody had performed since, like, some of them since the Middle Ages. It's like, and how people didn't realize that everything we have right now in music, including classical music, that we have back again, has been influenced by the Beatles.
Oh, there's no question about it. There's no question about that.
Yeah.
No, there's no. The Beatles
I would agree, but.
Oh, yeah, that's for sure. But the Beatles, you know, I don't even put them in the same ballpark as their contemporary at the time, the Rolling Stones and the Dave Clark Five.
Yeah, you can't.
Beatles were like Beethoven to rock and roll, you know. But when you think about
that's what they said, yeah.
Even the Beatles, you know, they played, their origins were with Chuck Berry and Little Richard and Robert Johnson, and, you know, the Beatles considered themselves back in Liverpool. You know this more than anybody. You were there. A blues band. I mean, a rock and roll band, you know, way back when, you know.
When they started.
Yeah, when they started.
They were very much influenced by those people, but in a very short time, they far surpassed everything any of those people did and changed music forever, basically.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know, that's so bringing back stuff from years ago, like Gregorian chants and
sure.
you know, all kinds of, like a classic song that they were pointing out and I knew they were going to go to was Eleanor Rigby, which is,
you know, yeah.
For so many reasons shouldn't work. And yet it's like one of the most masterful pieces they ever composed. I mean,
Yes, very much so.
I mean, who would have ever known that a progression, a song like I Want to Hold Your Hand would later, a song like Annie Griselda, not Annie Griselda, that was the Monkees, right?
Yeah, no, that was the Monkees. Peter Tork, man, Peter Tork.
No, but, you know, we look at the White Album and Revolver and...
Amazing. They were talking about how all the influences that they had, and it wasn't like, you know, that actually the Indian music, which influenced George a lot, and most people think of George when they think of it, but it also like heavily influenced John Lennon's music, I think they were playing Jealous Guy and saying that when you listen to that song, you can hear all the influence from that kind of music in it still.
Speaking of which, I can't think of a more appropriate close of our show today, Christmas music, and let's feature one of the Beatles, like John
Lennon.
Why not? We got to get out of here, folks. It's been a great week. We're getting close to Christmas. We'll do more Christmas stuff as we get closer to the day. And Amanda, why don't you get us out of here? Kevin, thanks so much for your call. I want
to it was great talking to you guys for a bit.
Yes,
happy Christmas,
darling.
Everybody. We
I
love mean, you.
Everybody. Feel better, sweetheart.
We're going to close you hearing too. Don Lennon do. So this is Christmas. Amanda, get us out of town. We'll play the tune.
Okay, so on behalf of Andy Kimball, my amazing co-host in California Hollywood, myself, Amanda Love here in the UK, thank you so much to Kevin for calling in. We missed you, dude. And thank you to you, the listeners. You're amazing. Thank you for your support. Keep listening. Come back with us Monday. Have an amazing weekend. We are closer to Christmas, baby. Enjoy this tune. Over and out.
Happy Christmas, Coco.
Happy Christmas, Julian.
So this is Christmas. And what have you done? Another year over, and a new one just begun. And so this is Christmas. I hope you have fun. The near and the dear ones, the old and the young.
So happy.